Mr. Leon, and I am definitely an alcoholic. I have a sponsor. I sponsor people. And my home group is Saturday morning Pocket Our Pride in Uptown, Minneapolis. And I'll talk up a little bit about willingness, but it's amazing to me that I continue to go. I live here now. And I continue to go back and forth because I'm willing to go to any lengths today. I grew up with lots of dysfunction. Like, I don't know anyone in teenagers like, yeah, my family was really healthy. I grew up with a sneaky drunk for a father. And not surprisingly, that's the kind of drunk that I turned into. He drank one drink every night, and then he would binge drink. But we were all so in denial, I had no idea that was going on. There were lots of things going on in that family that were contributed to the things that I allowed myself to numb myself over. I was a sneaky drunk. I surrounded myself by people who drank way more than I did. So I couldn't possibly be an alcoholic. I had a girlfriend in high school, and it was really easy to look at her and say, "You're an alcoholic." And we would go out and we'd be playing beer pong, and she would get sloppy drunk, and I would pour her into the car and pour her into her bed. And so therefore I wasn't like that, so I couldn't be an alcoholic. I started drinking when I was 14. Let me skip ahead. My sponsor a long time ago said to me, when you speak, when are you going to get sober in that time that you speak? And the time that I get sober has turned earlier and earlier, because you guys don't need to hear my story other than I'm an alcoholic and my life was done, because you all know what that's like. I started in our sister program, and I have nothing but respect for those folks. I was in Al-Anon for 5 years, and I didn't drink during that time because, you know, I was hanging out with people who were uncomfortable with alcohol and had grown up with with inappropriate alcohol use, and so I just didn't drink. But I spotted the other people who were hiding out in Al-Anon. It was really easy for me to say, oh yeah, she needs to get sober, she's just hiding out in Al-Anon. And we all know how well that works. That concept's gonna come up several times. And then I moved out to Colorado. I was living in DC and moved out to Colorado. I had never liked alcohol. Obviously did not stop me from drinking, but I had never liked alcohol. And I was living in Boulder, and there is a brewery on pretty much every corner in Boulder. And I discovered a kind of beer that I liked, and I knew I was in trouble. That's what really triggered me saying I gotta do something different. Before that, it's really hard for me to explain the chaos that I created, which is what I got sober about. When I moved out to Colorado, I wasn't drinking. Well, I would go out with my coworkers and they would just get trashed, and I wasn't drinking. They thought I was an alcoholic. That's why I wasn't drinking. I did not think that I was an alcoholic. And then I took a trip for work, and I went out to San Francisco, where both my ex and my brother live. And my brother and I have had a very difficult relationship until recently. And I used that as an excuse to pick up a drink. And I came back to Boulder, and now I was going out with these people and not drinking, but it was really hard to not drink because they still thought I was an alcoholic. But I started drinking again. The doctor's opinion is the most important piece of literature for me, because I did not hit my bottom on alcohol. I hit my bottom on the insanity in my brain. I could put alcohol down sometimes. but I could not put alcohol down. I thought about alcohol 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How am I gonna get it? How am I gonna get it and not drive? How am I gonna get it and nobody's gonna know that I'm drinking? Because all my friends thought I was an alcoholic and that I wasn't drinking. When I went out to Boulder, one of the things that landed me in my bottom was I started dating a guy who didn't believe in antidepressants. And so we all know how well that turned out. So I decided, you know, of course I needed to follow the rules, his desires, and I came off the antidepressants. And I don't recommend them necessarily for anybody else, but they have saved my life. And I ended up suicidal. At this point, part of the insanity was I'd been going to AA for a while, not because I thought I had an alcohol problem, because I thought I had a food problem. So I'm in AA meetings thinking I'm there because of sugar and binge eating, and everyone else is looking at me going, she's an alcoholic. When I hit my bottom, I was suicidal, and I called someone that I knew in AA, and she said, I'm gonna say something to you I've never said to anyone in my life. I think you're an alcoholic. And I've been around AA enough to know we don't say that to each other. So she suggested I read the part of the big book called They Stopped in Time. And I read the first story, I read the second story, whatever, whatever. And I came to the third story, which sadly is no longer in the big book, but and I didn't relate to the drinking, but he talked about being selfish and self-centered and crazy, and everything that he said was like looking in the mirror. The insanity did not stop there. I had been living in Boulder after I got a degree, and Boulder's a tough place to make a living in because everybody wants to live there. And my student loan company started to want some money, and I couldn't pay them. And so I came back here. I had come here for college. Came back here, and had at some point admitted that I was powerless over alcohol. Kind of admitted it. Really, I just stopped drinking. And so I moved back here, and I went to AA meetings, and I was not taking the steps. I did not get a sponsor, and we all know how well that goes. So I was here for several years, and I never got fired for alcohol. What I got fired for was the absolute insanity, my inability to manage myself, the crazy behavior, the irresponsible behavior. I came back here, I've been working for a while, and I got fired from my job. And it was a small field, and everybody knew each other, and I was tremendously embarrassed. And then I met this woman who lived in Illinois. We all know how well that works out. So I left here, and I moved down to Illinois, and the insanity continued. She left me shortly after I got there, thank God. And I got a sponsor, but again, I was not taking the steps. I was crazy, and I don't use that word, I use it seriously, because I was crazy. I would go into meetings and I would storm out because you guys weren't doing it right. AA there sucked, it really does, but there are people who get sober there, so who am I to say? I kept getting sponsors, but I still wasn't willing to really take the steps. Go back a second. So the household that I grew up in, I grew up with two vehement atheists. Anybody who needed religion was weak, and you managed your own life, and you should be okay by yourself. And if you weren't, then there was a problem. So for the first however many years, and that was probably 10 years, I didn't trust you all enough to surrender. Because I thought you were going to want me to go be a missionary in Africa. I didn't want to be a missionary in Africa. But what I really thought was you wanted to turn me into a zombie. So I actually married down there. We were together for about 10 years, thank you. And she was my higher power. So I stayed sober and crazy. Eventually, I moved down to Texas. And I was down there and I, you know, doing the things that alcoholics do when we're untreated, because I was an untreated alcoholic. And I walked into meetings and I knew better than how they were doing it. And one of the people that I was becoming friends with said, somebody spoke and she said, "Do you know Renee?" And I said, "No." She said, "You need to." And she became my sponsor and she kicked my ass for 2 years. And the turning point for me was, there were two turning points. One was, she said, "Are you afraid of drinking?" And I said, "No, because I thought I had it all down." She said, "I don't know how to sponsor you. I don't want to sponsor someone who's not afraid of drinking." So that made me really have to look at, was that really what you believe? Or was that just one of those, you know, "No, I'm fine." And the other thing is, I started to develop a friend circle. And I started to understand that what you all wanted from me was what was best for me. You weren't going to ask me to go walk out in the street, unless that's what I wanted to do, but that wouldn't have been okay either. You would have stopped me. And I finally surrendered. And I have, from that moment, never, ever doubted that I can do this by myself. I forget. You know, I get in my head, I call my sponsor, but I never doubt, which means that I never feel alone. Because I can be in my insanity. You know, my brain hasn't suddenly gotten perfect. And I know that I need to pick up the phone and call my sponsor or call a friend of mine in AA or call other people, not necessarily in recovery. But I know that I cannot do this by myself. And that is the spiritual awakening of this program. It says that in the 12 and 12, the 12th step. That the spiritual awakening is that we cannot do this ourselves. And I think that's all I've got. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for all of you.